Yeah, so we're looking at Matthew 7 today, and we'll be reading through verses 1 to 6. So if you're using the church Bibles, it's page 971. Yeah, as Laura said, if anyone wants one, just put your hand up now and someone will be able to get you one. So start. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under the feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you so much for your words. I pray that these verses will be challenging us in our own lives this morning. And as Tim comes to preach, Lord, I just pray that you would just fill him with your Holy Spirit. That as he speaks to us, Lord, that we would see something of you through that message. And that we would leave this place today changed. That you'd be challenged, Lord. That we would be people that are moving closer to be like you, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Morning, everyone. Great to see you. Welcome those online as well. Jesus said, do not judge. How are we doing at that? Do you think we're getting more or less judgmental as a society? Think more? More, okay. Most people say more. Unfortunately, more. Do you think you are becoming more or less judgmental as a person? More. Some people honestly say more. That can be a challenge, can't it? That's what we're looking at. We just remember the context. Jesus is on in his Sermon on the Mount. He's deliberately echoing Moses as he brings the Ten Commandments after the people are rescued through the Red Sea. And Jesus brings a new set of commands, and he explains how he expects, as Laura says, his people to live in this countercultural, surprising way in the new kingdom that he's bringing. And it's all part of this bigger question, which is how do we get real change in our society and in our world? We can all see the problems, can't we? Anyone see problems around us? Yeah, plenty of problems in our world. What's the answer? Well, this is Jesus's answer. Jesus says, if you follow my teachings, you become salt and light of the world. And the change that you long to see will happen. Simple. Yeah? It's not simple, is it? Because Jesus seems to challenge basically everything we do, that the level of kind of transformation he expects in his followers is extraordinary. You won't find any political party proposing the things that we read in the Sermon on the Mount. He says things like, when someone hurts you, don't retaliate, turn the other cheek. It's like, really? That's just not fair. You know, he says, don't store up treasure on earth. It's, what? That's like our whole economy is based on the principle of storing treasure. He says, don't worry. It's like, have you seen the news, God? Have you seen my life? Don't worry. Really? And then here Jesus kind of brings one of the hardest things of all. Don't judge. I mean, doesn't God realize that judging is kind of the thing we're best at? Don't judge, really? I mean, what would we talk about if we didn't judge? I mean, social media companies would go bust overnight. What would we do in the office? Offices would be silent. You know, dinner times would be so boring. I mean, haven't you heard what they did? I shouldn't tell you this. But apparently, they had an affair. Oh. I mean, how is work going anyway? Oh, there's this person. They are so annoying. They just drive me up the wall. It's not David. Usually. Have you seen the news? Have you seen what our government is doing? I mean, what about a prime minister? Oh, I mean, have you seen the council? Oh. We love to judge, don't we? Interestingly, we hate to be judged. Do you notice that? I noticed this driving. I was driving over there. I was going round a roundabout. I could see someone was about to pull out onto the roundabout in front of me and hit me. So I beep, and this person stopped, and I look over my shoulder, and he is just losing it, swearing at me, shouting at me. I'm like, don't judge me, he's saying. I'm sure this isn't, you're never like this, are we? In the car. Don't judge. Have you ever met someone who can be judgmental? Just every time you look in the mirror. Yeah? We love to judge. What does Jesus mean when he says, don't judge? When we make judgments all the time, we need to. We need to discern what is good and bad. And surely we need to put people straight when they're out of line. I mean, shouldn't we call people out on the wrong things that they do? Are we to just stop caring about what people do and say around us? What does Jesus mean by do not judge? I mean, what does he mean by don't cast pearls before swine? Because Jesus says both of these things put us on dangerous ground. Look, do not judge or you will be judged. Don't cast your pearls before swine or you will be, what happens to you? Trampled or torn to pieces. I mean, neither of those things sound very good, do they? This feels like stuff that we really should avoid. What is Jesus talking about? Well, he's warning about kind of two major problems that can happen in the church and in our lives when it comes to relationships with others. Both of these things will ruin Christian community and they will ruin our witness in the world. The first is the more common one, the danger that we become judgmental in our attitudes towards one another. And the second danger is almost the opposite. It's the risk that we lack care and discernment with holy things. It's like anything goes. We become fools, like the writer of the Proverbs describes it. What is your tendency? Do you tend towards judging to the high standards? Do you tend to be just loose with sacred things? Sometimes we can do both. At first glance, they look like different problems, but Jesus says they have a common cause, which is an inability to see properly. And the first is an inability to see yourself clearly. Don't judge. Remember, you've got the plank. Jesus adds an illustration and a parable to explain what he means because it's really easy to misunderstand his words. Verse 2, he says, for in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The measure is an image from the marketplace. So when things were bought and sold, they were based on weight. And it would be really easy to cheat people by using different weights to what you should. And this is talking about how we evaluate people, how we measure our kind of value system. And the problem is, as humans, we have this tendency to use different measures. So when it comes to judging myself, I tend to be quite lenient and generous and forgiving. But when I judge other people, I'm harsh and pointed and inflexible and less generous. I use a different measure. And that's, do you see what Jesus is saying? So we use different measures. And Jesus says, be very careful about how you measure others. You can't know someone's motives. You look on the outside. God is the one and the only one who can look on someone's heart. You know, at the kind of center of this is a desire for humans to take that role of God. That's actually what we see back in the Garden of Eden. We want the power to discern good and evil, to take the role of judge. And Jesus says, that's not your job. That's God's job. It's not yours. Dallas Willard says the word for judge could be helpfully translated as condemn. It's this kind of sense of pronouncing a verdict over someone's life. This isn't just like the ordinary kind of decisions of each day. This is condemnation. He says we must abandon the deeply rooted human practice of condemning and blaming. Jesus says, don't do it. And just in case we hear that and go, yeah, I sometimes get that a bit wrong. I just need to be a bit careful when I judge. He then tells this story to show that we are terrible at judging. We're just useless at it, generally. Verse 3, he says this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? I mean, it's ridiculous, yeah? Jesus the carpenter. And he's saying, look, when you're looking and you're seeing a speck, whereas actually what's in your eye is a plank. And the word plank there, this is too small to represent what Jesus is talking about. Yeah? Is a beam that you would use for a roof timber. It's a huge piece of wood. And Jesus said, look, you are so terrible at judging. You get these measures so wrong. It's like you see the smallest speck in someone else and you just completely fail to see what is in your eye. D.A. Carson puts it this way. He says, we human beings display a vast capacity for self-deception. You know, have you ever had someone kind of challenge you on something? And you're like, but you do that way more. It's like, stop hitting me with your plank. What's pictured here? It's a funny story. People would have been laughing as they heard this. But it's a serious point because it points to this problem that we have of hypocrisy. You know, on an institutional level, it's the church proclaiming judgment on sexual kind of misdemeanor in society while covering up sexual abuse by its clergy. It's an awful thing, hypocrisy, isn't it? And we rightly shake our heads and go, that is an awful thing. But what Jesus wants us to realize as we hear that is that the plank we don't see is the plank that we are carrying. The plank that is in our eyes. So even as we go, oh no, that's a terrible thing, we miss the plank that's here. Who's got the plank?
You do, yeah, you do.
I do. Say it, I've got the plank. That's the point Jesus is making. I have the plank. You know, your biggest problem in life is not other people's sin and the things that other people are doing. It's your sin. It's, as Amanda was displaying so brilliantly, it's the stuff that's written on our backs that we just don't see. Are we to assume we have the speck or the plank? The plank. The plank. Why does the church, why do Christians so often become judgmental? Why do we enjoy judging others? What is it? I think partly it's this thing, it kind of makes us feel good. Makes us go, oh, I'm better than them. It kind of gives us this illusion of thinking we're okay, we're fine. I'm not as bad as them. It's pride, isn't it? That kind of puffs up. The Bible says, though, that we have all sinned. We're all in the same boat. Every one of us, no matter what is written. That's an extraordinary thought, isn't it? You know, my grandpa was a Baptist minister, and he had an amazing ministry in London. And, you know, he used to send students from Spurgeon's to see what was happening in his church for training. And shortly before he died, I said, you know, Grandpa, what's the key to successful ministry? You know, what's the key to church? And he said this: always remember, you're a sinner saved by grace. I was like, great. So tell me, what do I do though? You know, what else? He says, just remember, you're a sinner saved by grace. And this is what Jesus is driving at. You know, the desire to judge others is the plank. It's the clue that we've not seen something, that something hasn't happened in our hearts. It's the clue that we've not really seen the depths of our sin, that we are sinners. And it's a failure to see the awesome grace of God in our lives. You know, one of the reasons people think God is overly judgmental isn't because God is, but because we can be. We are most like God, not when we judge, but when we show mercy. Let me say that again. We are most like God, not when we judge, but when we show mercy, because that is what he has shown us. That is the basis of our relationship. You know, the story of the Bible is of God repeatedly delaying judgment, not treating people as they deserve. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How do we apply this? Well, I find this really hard, because I can always see the problems and I want to get in there and kind of, I want to fix it. But Jesus says our default mode needs to be not to judge. Be very cautious about judging others. Every time you're tempted to judge, you kind of need to go through a process of self-reflection. Oh, where is that? Oh, that terrible thing, that reaction I'm having. Oh, where is that in my life, that sin? Oh, I wonder what they're struggling with. What measure am I using? You know, we're to be generous in our evaluation of others. The key question is, what is flowing from your heart? Is it generosity and grace? Is that your kind of bent? Or is it judgment and harshness? So do we just let anything go? Well, no, interestingly. We need to see others clearly too. Don't be a fool. As the writer in the Proverbs describes it, discern carefully. This is, again, where Jesus often gets misunderstood. It could seem, and some people interpret Jesus this way, you just say, well, anything goes. It doesn't matter what you do. Sin doesn't matter. But Jesus hasn't finished explaining. Jesus is calling for a totally different way of seeing, a seeing that doesn't look down kind of like in condemnation, but comes alongside and says, yeah, I struggle with that too. I'm a sinner too. Comes alongside with a look of loving care and with wise discernment. Does the speck in the person's eye matter? Who's ever got something in their eye? Does it matter when there's something in your eye? It really does, doesn't it? I mean, it's just a nightmare. Yeah, it can stop you seeing. It's so painful. It can cause real damage. It matters. The speck needs getting out, just not by someone with a plank. Yeah? So you can see clearly, Jesus says. Remove the plank so you can see clearly. Paul writes to the church in Corinth to tell them, hey, you're not taking sin seriously enough. A city very much like Brighton, and they were just saying, whatever. Oh, sexual immorality, great. Seriously, they're fine. Greed, drunkenness, it was like a free for all. And Paul, the apostle, writes, says, look, you've completely misunderstood the grace of God. He has these really strict lines, interestingly, for those who are within the church. And really, really loose lines for those who are outside. He says, don't judge them. And we tend to do the opposite very often, don't we? Sin in the church has to be addressed. The question is how? Well, Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 18 about how you go alongside someone who is in sin. And you can read about that there. Ultimately, it can lead to someone being put outside of the church. But it isn't a harsh process. And the clue is in this parable. If you've ever got something out of your eye, you will know you need to be very, very gentle. Yeah? And that's what God's word says. Galatians 6 verse 1 says this. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Gently. But watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Which brings us to this other danger. This temptation. That in our desire to not judge, we might be undiscerning. And so Jesus tells a kind of riddle. It says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And you might think, well, what are all those different people and things and animals? At its kind of most basic level, this is describing giving something precious to those who don't value it. This is not lap dogs. This is like feral dogs going around. You know, they're sometimes, the false teachers are sometimes described as dogs. There are people who openly and vehemently reject the things of God. And what Jesus is saying is quite simple. He says, if someone isn't open, if someone doesn't value the things of God, don't just keep giving them. You know, if someone isn't listening, stop speaking. It's kind of quite a profound little bit of advice for life. It's really wise. Someone's not listening, stop speaking. Now, that doesn't mean you don't continue to love and care for people, but we're to be discerning. You know, when Jesus sends his disciples out in mission in Luke chapter 10, he says, where you're welcome, stay. But where you're rejected, leave. The message of Jesus is an invitation to all, but not everyone wants it or is ready for it. And some are actually hostile. You know, Jesus says, there's a real evil around you, around us. He says, verse 15, a little bit later in this chapter, he says, watch out for false prophets. He'll then say, look, watch out. Not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. So we're to be discerning. But the reason, even as we discern, we still don't condemn, we still don't do that judging thing, is because only God can judge fairly and rightly, and he promises he will. And so in Romans 12, verse 9, we're told, leave room for God's wrath, which is a kind of terrifying thought, because the Bible says, well, we all deserve God's wrath. We all deserve God's judgment. We've all got, who's got the plank? I've got the plank. So leave room for God's wrath for people with the plank. Oh dear. I've got the plank. What do we do about that? I'll turn that around so it doesn't fall over. What do we do? Well, Pope Benedict says this. He says, guilt can only be overcome by forgiveness, not retaliation. Guilt can only be overcome by forgiveness, not retaliation. Our instinct is to retaliate, but it just creates this cycle that never ends. And at some point, forgiveness has to come for that cycle to change. And amazing, this is what Jesus comes to do. He comes to bring forgiveness, not retaliation. Maybe that's news to you. God is not wanting to retaliate against you in your life. He wants to come and bring forgiveness. He wants to come and take away the stuff that's caused all the brokenness and pain in your life and in our world. And that's why Jesus comes. This is the most sacred thing, that Jesus comes not as our judge, but comes as our savior. Jesus, the only one who sees clearly, The only one without a plank or even a speck comes. And it's extraordinary because he is placed on a plank of wood. He is nailed to the cross. He's lifted high. He's crucified and killed. He kind of experiences all of that he warns against, being torn to pieces. Why? Well, on the cross, it's our plank that he's carrying. That I carry your sin. So that you can be forgiven. Taking the judgment we deserve. So that we can receive what we don't deserve. This is the most sacred thing. That though sin is kind of more serious than any of us could possibly imagine, forgiveness is possible. But there's a warning. And this is really important. You see, Jesus is saying here, if we insist on judgment, if we insist on judging others with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you want a relationship with God that is based on justice and judgment, and you want to apply that in your relationship with others, you can have that. But that's how you will then be measured with God. Do you understand? Yeah. So either our relationship with God and our relationship with others is based in judgment, or amazingly, and this is what Jesus offers, it's based in grace. So, dear Carson, he writes this. He says, I think we've got this. A judgmental attitude excludes us from God's pardon, for it betrays an unbroken spirit. Because it shows you've never really understood that you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. And that's what we need. We need a relationship with God and with one another based on grace, not on our performance. Because we perform pretty bad, don't we? We need grace. Two thieves were crucified next to Jesus. Both were guilty. If you remember the story, or maybe you don't know the story, one of the thieves next to Jesus, he mocks Jesus. He ridicules Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? Nothing. There are no poles for him. The other guilty thief next to Jesus says, I'm guilty. I've got it wrong. I'm judged justly. Please remember me as you go into your kingdom. And Jesus offers him the greatest pearl imaginable and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Do you see? One is, I'm going to judge you and I'm going to receive judgment. One is, I deserve judgment. I need grace. And so I'm going to receive grace, and therefore in my relationships with other people, I'm going to show grace. That's what baptism is all about. Guilty people finding forgiveness. Baptism is dying to our attempts at judging and choosing to trust Jesus for mercy. Discovering that, oh wow, no condemnation now I dread. Wow! And therefore, no condemnation now I give. Do you see? People saved by grace. Always remember, you are a sinner saved by grace. Baptism is where we find the power to live this new life that Jesus wants for us. As Jesus comes to live in us by his Spirit, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. My longing is that each one of us would discover that if you already know it, that you would be seeing today afresh the wonder of grace. And if you've never seen it, if you've never known the wonder of having your sin forgiven, not being treated as you deserve, that you would come and receive that even now from Jesus. Should we pray together? There might be a number of things that God's saying to you. You might even just want to say to God, God, what are you saying to me? As I was praying this morning, I felt there was just two things for us to be thinking about. And the first is just speaking into this judgmental attitude that the things we speak over others, you know, the language of you always. And maybe you just need to come before God and just say, God, I'm sorry. Sorry for my judgmental heart. Change my heart. Because only as our heart changes that our lips will change. Our words will change. Jesus wants you to know there is forgiveness available. Transformation is available even now. The other thing that I was praying about this morning is for healing for things that have been spoken over us by others. The kind of labels that we might carry. And if you need healing in that area, I'd encourage you, just put your hands out in front of you. Just ask, just kind of offer that label, that thing that's been spoken. And just say, God, please, would you take that? There's going to be a prayer on the screen, and we're going to pray this together. It's a wee prayer that just walks through this teaching of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, forgive our judgmental attitudes and our lack of care with holy things. Help us to see clearly. We admit we deserve your judgment. Thank you for taking our sins, our planks on the cross. We receive your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Help us show mercy to others. Thank you for your presence. Help us to be discerning with the precious things you have given us. Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to worship God. We're going to come and receive from him the things we need.